Well, good morning, everybody. Another great week ahead. Darren Saul here, your host of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. Episode 88 today with a lovely guest by the name of Janine Vosper. How are you, Janine?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Beautiful day here today in Brisbane, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation, Darren.
Me too, Janine. It's a conversation that's close to my heart. Anything to do with the psychology of sales and selling and putting your best foot forward and positioning is always something that I'm fascinated about. So today we're going to be chatting about how to avoid the top five mistakes people make when selling. So this is going to be really interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing what these top five mistakes are. But before we do that, I thought I'd just give everybody a little insight into who Janine is. So Janine's purpose is to empower people in small business and provide them with the skills to speak with a confident voice and the words to share their story with credibility and conviction. For over 20 years, Janine has worked as the general manager of sales for a successful multi-million dollar national supply business. As GM, Janine had plenty of hands-on experience coaching high-performing, commission-based sales teams, achieving extraordinary sales results. She established her coaching business, Speech Perfect, in 2007 to assist small business owners to achieve greater success in their business. Keynote speaker, host of the We Are Women podcast, and author of two books, Good Girls Do Sell and Being Unstoppable, Janine's sales and speaking coaching programs include online training programs, private coaching, and group seminars. Having presented workshops on the topics of expertise in many countries around the world, Janine has represented her country at Power Talk international speaking contests. From Alaska to Japan, New Zealand to Hawaii, and all around Australia, audiences have described Janine as brilliant, powerful, and informative. So welcome, Janine.
Oh, thank you, Darren. Whenever I hear that read off, I go, yeah, look, I've written it. It sounds great. Everyone just believe it.
No. Wow, fantastic. Well done. And you've certainly done a lot and you've had amazing accolades. So I'm very impressed and I'm very proud and honored to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really looking forward to the conversation. It's one of my favorite topics.
It is. But so maybe before we jump in, give us a little snapshot into, you know, where you're at right now, you know, how things are working in your world right now during this situation. Has anything changed? Have you had to adapt at all?
I was fortunate because I already had a whole lot of online training programs. I didn't have to jump in and create a whole lot of extra things when the lockdowns first occurred, because we weren't able to do face-to-face training. So it was a little bit of a benefit and used to doing webinars, etc. But what I found, particularly in Queensland, because we've had a little bit of freedom now for a couple of months, is everybody's realised that they need to get good at selling, telling their story, and getting people to buy things. Definitely. Particularly now, I've had clients that have been sitting on the fence, for some of them nearly 2 years, going, yes, that's a great idea. We need to get our staff trained. And now going, thank you, let's book in a date, because they need something to be able to stand out. And with a lot of people feel very uncomfortable trying to sell something to somebody at the moment as well, because we're aware that people are in, you know, it could be in dire straits in some situations, but there's a lot of people buying, and that's where my focus is getting people to buy from you rather than trying to sell.
I absolutely love that. For me, it's like, I liken it to, we have to create the environment so people are comfortable and willing and wanting to buy rather than us having to push and hard sell our products and services.
Absolutely. And it's not comfortable for anyone. I actually put a little video post up today on Facebook on that subject. It's not comfortable, you know?
Awesome. So, I mean, let's jump in. I mean, do you think that the mistakes people make these days are the same mistakes we made years ago? Has selling, psychology of selling or buying changed? Or is it we've just made the same mistakes because we haven't taken the time to really understand the psychology behind buying?
That's a really interesting question, because, you know, what is different now, and particularly in 2020, this year is, you know, appears to be different than other years. But I don't think they're making different mistakes. People's buying behaviors are different now. We've got a lot of opportunities. If we want something, we go research it. It's online. We can buy that. So we now, rather than being sold to, we do buy a lot more. Yeah. A lot more people are in their own small businesses as well. And that means that there's a lot more options and a lot more availability for us to, as buyers, to look at. So for the sellers, that's, again, is that there has to be a way for them to stand out a little bit more. Yeah. And that whole know, like, trust journey has to be evidenced somewhere along the way. But looking at the mistakes, whether the mistakes are different now, I think they are. I think there's certain things that we always need to get right. We just always need to get them right. But maybe we need to do them, we've done doing them in a again, because of people, more people are in their own businesses. It's much easier to sell if you work for somebody else. Yes. If it's their product, it's much easier to do that, because a no is not a personal no. Whereas if it's your product, your business, a no is taken a lot more personally. But that's where I'm seeing the difference. But I think when we go through the mistakes, they're probably pretty much the same.
Yeah, fantastic. That's a really good point. So let's jump in. What to outline for us the five mistakes that people are making when they're selling?
Okay. The first one is that people aren't prepared to get uncomfortable. That's really, it is, even the best salespeople get uncomfortable sometimes. Yep. It's just the way it is. It's, you may be a great technician at what you do, but if you don't make a sale, you don't have a business. And you ask, a lot of people about when I'm running courses, I'll get people to put up again, who's in sales? And now everyone in business knows they are in sales. They'll all put their hand up. And then the second question, who just absolutely loves it every morning? They get up and go, wow, I'm going to make some sales today. Yeah. I'm loving it. And it's a bit like crickets. I might get one or two people that will feel that passion. And selling is uncomfortable if you're trying to sell. Yeah. Now, this is where I do the biggest switch around for people. And I, if you get this, then you will be able to feel comfortable about selling. And the thing is, if you are the best massage therapist, yoga trainer, podcast host, are great at what you do, and you don't tell people about it, well, I'm sorry, that is extremely selfish.
I like that. I love it.
It is. Why would I want someone else to go to another sales coach where they might pay more, they might not get the same results as they'd get with me? Why would I do that?
100%. And people always say, oh, I'm not a salesperson. I'm not selling. I'm scared to sell. But in the end of the day, personally or professionally, we're all selling something, all putting our best foot forward. And we have to learn, as you say, to get uncomfortable and have the confidence to believe in what we do, whether it's personal or professional, and tell people how great we are.
Correct. Australia, we have that tall poppy thing where I don't want to put my hand up and look like I'm big noting myself. But it's not that. It's that, really, why would you let someone go? Why would you disappoint somebody? Why would you let them waste their money and their time and their energy by not coming to you? I challenge people on this all the time. Yeah. Otherwise, you must be thinking, well, I'm not a good technician. Yeah. I'm not good at what I'm doing.
Because you don't really believe in yourself if you're not prepared to go all out and say, come to me, talk
absolutely
to me, I'm the best.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And that's a real, if you can get that switch in mindset. And I know I was working with somebody the other day and she's just gone, oh my goodness me, I cannot believe how many people I've let down.
Yep.
It was a really, really good response. And yes, and part of my blog this morning was exactly that we're all in sales, and it's whether you're convincing a girlfriend to buy a dress, or your husband to mow the lawn, or your children not to take drugs.
Yep.
You are in sales all the time.
Yep, definitely. And we have to be comfortable with voicing our philosophies and our opinions about whatever it is we're passionate about.
Mm.
And we can't run away from that opportunity. I think that's so true.
So that's the number one thing, isn't it? Just get uncomfortable. Be prepared to get uncomfortable. And the second mistake is people talk too much.
Yep.
whether it's, if you're wanting to make an appointment, if you want to make a phone call to make an appointment, then make a phone call to make an appointment. Don't try and make a sale on the phone.
Love it.
If whatever you are trying to do, particularly let's talk about the appointments or something on the phone, it, just stick to the facts about what you want to achieve. Yep. Asking questions is the most powerful way to understand how you can solve somebody's problem. And knowing how to ask power questions, listen to the answers, and then being able to paraphrase what the person has said will mean that you get, but they're, and when you paraphrase it back, they'll be sitting there going, you understand my problem. Yep. You get it. Yep. You're the person I want to work with. Being able to shut up and listen. 70% of listening, 30% of questioning. And somewhere in there, there might be a little bit of commenting as well. But really is important to use these two and one of these equal proportions.
That proportion, agree. And it's a really big thing because salespeople, like even before, you know, from years ago, everybody used to say, oh, he or she's got the gift of the gab. You'd be a great salesperson. That is total nonsense because sales is not about talking. As you say, it's about listening and asking engaging, intelligent questions. And for me, I've always thought that if you can ask intelligent questions, that also is an incredible tool for building rapport and building credibility, you know, and just positioning yourself as someone that someone would like to do business with because they can know, like, and trust you. So as you say, less talking, more intelligent questions and listening. And that is a huge shift in psychology for sales as well.
Yes, it is. And when you're paraphrasing, paraphrase in their language and do it with emails as well, not just in the verbal expression. I was working with a group the other day and we were talking. And so I get them to tell a little bit of story about themselves and when we're doing listening exercises. And one of the women said, I had my childhood in Bundaberg. And when the person paraphrased it back, they said they grew up in Bundaberg. And I said, that is not the word that they used. And even using the word childhood has a different meaning to it than grew up.
Yes.
You know, so finding those moments where somebody gives you a story or a message and being able to hone in on that as a way to build rapport, as you said. And if people know that you understand what they're telling you, then you will then build this amazing connection with them. And again, that know, like, and trust journey. But it's that whole space of, you know what, that person definitely understands where I'm coming from and I am prepared to pay them more money because they do.
Absolutely. You know, and a lot of the time people, you know, it could be in a sales conversation or a sales meeting and the person is already ready to buy, but you're still talking.
I've seen so many people talk their way out of sales.
And you talk your way out of the sale. Isn't that ridiculous?
Absolutely. Yes. I learned this the hard way with just even in my personal life. I have a friend of mine who is great at not talking, really good at not talking. And when you're in a conversation with friends, you know, you're really chatty. Oh, I am anyway. And I'm filling in all the gaps. And she would just stop talking. And I would just, there's a space. You know, there's dead air. And I'd have to fill in the gaps. And what I've learned from her, it took me a long time. We've been friends since grade one. And what it has taken me until the last few years to learn is to say nothing. So these dead spaces might go 30 seconds now.
But she jumps in. Because when you leave that empty space open, you're forcing the other person to show you what's on their mind. If you're not going to fill that space with what you want to say, you're forcing the other person to actually say something that's going to be relevant to you. So you have to be prepared to sit it out and wait and hold that silence and wait for it to come to you. But it's amazing what comes to you when you do.
Absolutely. And that's usually a lot of time where the gold comes in as well, because that a lot of people are very comfortable at letting others speak. Yep. You know, they just prefer to sit back and listen. And they're the ones that you can really learn the most from if you give them the opportunity to share. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, so that's the second one is talking too much.
Okay, great.
Definitely. The third one is not offering a solution to their problem. I go to a lot of networking events and I hear people pitch the features of their product day in and day out. And features tell the story about what you do, but when you can describe the benefits and the benefits to that particular person, then you are you're going to sell. So the thing is, features tell and benefits sell. So people do not know, want it, they do not care what your product does, they just care about what it does for them.
Exactly.
And if that's a simple reminder, and if you talk about what your product does for them, then you're going to able to build that connection and then make the sale.
And I think it was Seth Godin, I've read one of his books or one of his audiobooks where he goes into detail about exactly that. And he says, it's important also to really think two or three steps down the line to really get to the benefit or the why that, you know, the person wants to buy your product or service. Mm-hmm. For example, if you make drills, you know, you could say that the drill, the solution or the benefit of the drill is it allows you to put a hole in so you can hang up your picture. But he says, no, go further. The benefit of that drill is to allow you to put the hole in, hang up your picture, and then feel great about your house and your home and your family, et cetera, and want to invite guests in to entertain, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. So you can really take that much, much further to really find the benefit, because it's about emotions, about feeling. What do we feel when we engage you in, for a product or a service? That's the key.
100%, yes. And I worked in gyms for about 10 years and I was a fitness trainer, aerobic instructor. And so I understand the mindset of people coming into gyms. And most people, if you ask them why they go to the gym, they'll say they want to get fit or they want to get stronger. But if you really ask them, is that they just want to look good in the mirror.
Yep.
But if you then delve deep again, what they want is for someone else to come up to them and go, oh my gosh, Darren, you are looking awesome.
Yeah. So you can almost be very, almost like when a child always says, why? You can do the same thing. What's the benefit? Why? What's the benefit? Why? And then when you run out of whys, then you've got to the real benefit.
I used to do that with my sales team. And that was something I did want to mention. I mean, I coached commission-based sales teams for a long time, but every one person that's in their own business is on commission. And when you get into that mindset thinking, well, yeah, I'm on commission. Do I want to forfeit a few dollars because of discount? No. Anyway, that's a different, but it is part of a mistake people make. They forget that they're on commission. But the why, I used to do 13 whys with my team. We used to keep going down and going down and sort of end up with basically a lot of the same things, you know. And a lot of times it comes back to time and money. But it's not the time. It's not time. It's the missed opportunity spent with family. Or we were talking before we came on, I just spent 3 days camping for the weekend. That's the time I want.
Or convenience as well as a big one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So finding out the benefit of what your product offers people, it is just forget about the features. Nobody cares about them. Yep. They just care about what those features will do for them.
100%. Mm. Love it. Yep. That's number three.
So the fourth one is people don't ask for the sale.
Yep.
They just forget to do that. They may have gone through the whole pitch and it looks really great they've done all the things right. They've told them about the benefits. They've listened. They've got uncomfortable. And then they forget to ask for the sale.
Crazy.
And they just miss out on it.
Yep.
Again, because they go back to that feeling icky of, oh, okay, I don't want to push it now because we've got on really well and it seems like it's going. You've got to ask for things.
Yeah.
I've had the same trainer for the last 20 years. We started off in gyms, but now she drives from one side of Brisbane side, and I'm on the south side, and she arrives at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday morning for training for an hour.
Wow.
Now, she has always charged me $45. And I use her story because she's never asked me for any more money in 20 years. This year I just went, oh, after we came back from COVID, I just went, oh, here's $50. Yeah. I don't want the $5 change. Yeah. She was quite blown away, but it didn't end up asking for it. I just went, I just feel so bad after all this time. I just get that extra $5. Don't worry. But it's the thing is, she had never asked me for that. I would be prepared. I'd be prepared to pay a lot more because that's what she does, and she does such a great job of it. And we don't put that value on ourselves. And you know, the example of how much of an the more of an expert you are, the more people will pay you for what you do. So we pay a lot more for a heart specialist than we do for a GP. You know, that's because we have a higher expectation of the of what a heart specialist is going to do for us. So one is be prepared that to put the right value on yourself, and then ask people to pay. I figured out what I've been doing over the years is putting my price up and putting my price up and putting my price up until people say no.
Yeah.
And then figuring out, well, okay, I've a nice sweet spot.
And, yeah, exactly.
Right. And yes, so making sure that you value yourself, but you also ask for the sale. And there's ways to learn to close. Some of them are going to feel a lot more comfortable to you than others. Some are, could feel quite a hard push sale. Again, if you've listened well enough, if you know how you've solved that person's problems, then you it shouldn't be hard to ask for the sale, because again, why wouldn't you? If they need your product or service, then
And it can be a softer approach. It can be something like, well, how do you feel about moving forward? It can be something really soft and indirect rather than, all right, when do you want to start? You know,
it's up to
you how you want to phrase it, but as long as you get there.
Yes. Yeah. And it can be something like, I can see this is really important to you. From everything that you've said and explained, it seems like you want to get started straight away.
Yeah.
When will we?
Yeah.
Just there's a lot of things you can do to phrase it in a way that there's an assumption. That's a bit of an assumptive close, what I was doing. And just assuming, well, if you've got all the problems solved for them, then you're assuming that it's a sale. So that's number four. And the last one is the biggest mistake people make in sales. I see this all the time. They've gone through all the steps, all the processes. Person hasn't made a decision at the time, and then they just let them go. They don't follow up.
Wow. So you mean they close and then they don't actually follow up?
Yeah. Yeah. Or they haven't closed and they haven't made the sale, right. And then they haven't followed up. I know when I was working as a GM, I had a customer for over a year and ended up being a $250,000 sale. And it would be, I just keep ringing them. So it's okay. I'll check in with our usual fortnightly call, and it's every fortnight for a year until they made the sale. I'm working with a company at the moment, a legal firm. I also coach in professional speaking, and I started talking to them in March 2019. They did the first lot of courses in August 19, and now they've just started doing live ones again last week. And it has been follow up after follow up after follow up after follow up. It's a great gig, and it's particularly love working with lawyers and helping them become better speakers. And yeah, I really enjoy it. So 44% of people do give up after the first sales follow-up call.
Yep.
And they'll go, oh yeah, better off. You know, someone told me I had to do it. You're leaving money on the table if you don't follow up. You've just gone through all that effort, and you need to do it. But 44% of people will stop after one follow-up call. Mm. And the average person only makes two attempts to call.
And I think they say it takes about 7 or 8 to actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, 80% of sales are made after the fifth phone call. Yeah. So there's other ways to contact people as well in that time, not just with the phone calls. Yeah. But yes, you've got to be prepared to follow up. It's, and what's the percentage? I think it's 70%, around that figure, that people will take 3 months to make a decision to buy something.
Wow.
That we don't make decisions quickly. You look at yourself, especially if it's a big spend, or even not, if it isn't. You know, there's a course that you've been looking at for a while, and you keep looking at, then you know something bright and shiny comes along, and you get distracted, and then you might pop up again, and you see it again, and go, oh yeah, I want to do that. Whereas if a person made a phone call at that particular time, you'd go, oh yeah, right, we'll do it now.
Yeah.
Is getting onto it, and 20% of people take up to 12 months to buy.
Isn't that incredible?
Mm-hmm.
Human beings.
It's so important.
Creatures.
We are. And you want to follow up so you're not a pest. No. You want to be able to do it in ways that, and first of all, is to ask permission to follow up.
Yeah, that's true.
And if someone doesn't give you permission, it means that they're really not interested anyway.
Yeah.
And you're better off just wiping your hands of it until, you know, maybe a few months down the track, give them a call back or something. But if they won't give you permission to call back at a particular time, don't waste your time. But most people will, you know, if you ask permission to call up. And the thing is, would be saying something like, I usually follow up everyone in about 4 or 5 days when they've had the opportunity to read through and think about it. Does that work for you?
Yeah,
and most people go, yeah. And again, that was a closed question too. I haven't talked about open questions, as we did a little bit when we're talking about listening instead of speaking. But you want people to commit then. You want a yes at some stage, and getting that yes up. Yeah, that's okay. So the first thing about following up is to ask for permission to do so. Yeah. And to have a system, and that would be part of your system on how you would follow up. And one of the things I would suggest for people not to do is to say, I am just following up.
Just following up as promised.
Yeah, that's right. It could be something along the lines, look, I know, Darren, when we were chatting, you were really interested in moving forward with the sales training. Now, have you gone with your conversation? So I haven't even said following up, but I've reminded them what was really important to them at the time, or what they told me. You told me, yes, and I would use something like, I know when we're speaking, Darren, you told me it's really important for you to get confident in your speaking. How, you know, so you follow up with what, reminding them what you're doing, and haven't used the word following up at all.
Love it. I love it. Those are fantastic little insights that can already change, you know, results dramatically if people put those into practice.
Absolutely. So just going through those again is be prepared to get uncomfortable. Don't talk too much. Go with the benefits and not the features. Ask for the sale and follow up.
And I mean, obviously those are the things that people have to do, but is there an easy way to start doing those things? Should we start with one and then move to the second and then move to the third, or we should do all at the same time? How can we get ourselves, build that habit, build that muscle memory to make sure we do those things every day?
Everything, if it's not going to be comfortable with sales, then obviously that's the first step, is to be prepared to get uncomfortable. But it's all part of the process, you know, getting uncomfortable. Developing good listening skills. If you've ever done any of the how do you receive information, about 50% of us are quite visual, but only about 20% of us are quite auditory, you know, really do listen, prefer to get our information by sound. And improving those skills is a great way to start. And I know for me, it was as simple as listening to podcasts in the car or listening to books in the car. And I prefer fiction, because I do so much nonfiction things. So I prefer fiction in the car, and it keeps me engaged. And I've learned to, because you can white noise the other stuff out, but if it's something that's really interesting, you pay attention and you learn to listen well. And to the listening part again is to have some questions that you think you might want to ask, or let people speak and then ask a question and then let people speak again. Yeah. It's a practice tool. So getting started, just that's one of the ways, is learning to be a good listener. And we're looking at, but the next steps, we're talking about features, find opportunities to join a networking, whether face-to-face or online networking space, where you get the opportunity to pitch.
Yeah.
And you learn how to pitch Usually it'll be, people want to know what it's in it for them, but they want to know a little bit about your expertise, and to be able to tell that in 30 seconds, 40 seconds or 60 seconds quickly, it does need a formula with that as well to get that right. And the follow-up and the asking for sales, that is all part of the process. Every time you do it, I mean, I've been in sales nearly 40 years now, and so it seems easy, but it's just practice and just doing it. It's like anything else. If you do something over and over and over long enough, then it will get more and more comfortable. And there will be people that say no, they just don't need your product. That's okay. Yep. You can move on to people that do need your product, and find your, we could go on this for this for ages, find your niche. Have the right conversation with the right people. That's so important. Each time I put up a marketing thing, I target it one person. And that's another mistake, is people, when they're pitching, they try to pitch to the whole room or the whole world instead of just targeting the one person that's going to buy their product.
And as you say, just because they say no doesn't mean they say, it can also mean that they're just saying no now. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they're going to say no again in a month. So, mm-hmm. But it's up to you to gauge whether you continue that strategy or you let them go.
Yes, and asking permission. Yes, it's like a couple of the companies that have booked some sales training now, working with them in the next month or so, they've been saying no for so long. Yeah. it just wasn't the right time. There was a whole lot of reasons why not. Yeah. And they were genuine reasons, and it needed commitment from the board to see the value in it. And now they see the value in it. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So, Janine, I would love to have a little case study or a little example from some of your experience. Not something that's confidential, obviously, but without mentioning names. But I'd love a story of how you've been able to help a company or a salesperson implement some of these steps, and it's made a huge difference to their results.
Okay. When I was working with one of my reps, she just did not have, she never did any cold calling. And that's another thing. That's that part of getting uncomfortable, but you'll always have people dropping off the bottom, or you may only sell one product. You've always got to be bringing new people into the business. And she just did not feel comfortable about doing that at all. The clients she had absolutely loved her, and she was able to work with them in a way that they would, but she didn't want to push them to buy extra product. She just felt like, I don't know what she was in sales, but she was such a great person at building connection with people, and she didn't value that she could do that so well.
Yeah.
She really didn't understand how that could relate to the sales story. And I spent a lot of time working with her because, again, it was a real lack of self-confidence with herself, but she didn't want to upset people by being pushy. She thought she would lose business rather than gain business if she felt uncomfortable doing so. And very much into that, where we talked about it right at the beginning, about her being selfish. Because she was such a carer, and because she was a real nurturing person and really wanted to look after people, we started working with this concept with her about her being really selfish. And it eventually got through. It was, the turnaround was outstanding. Now, she hadn't been bringing on any new customers. She was in a position where she was a single mom. The kids were a bit grown up, but she always wanted to be there to help support them financially as well. She couldn't even afford to get her car fixed because she needed that to be on the road every day. She was struggling with financially every single week, again, because she was on 100% commission and the less sales. And this is one of the reasons I really wanted to work with her well, because I knew she had a lot more potential. It just had to be switched the right way. Yeah. And Judy was, once she got it, that because she knew the opposition in her territory, and she said they're really pushy and they're horrible and their products aren't great, and she had all these negatives that she knew about them. And I said, well, why aren't you going to them to tell them that how much better your products are, how much better you can look after them, you know, all of this. And she picked up 3 new customers the first week, and she hadn't picked up a new customer in 12 months.
Wow.
And then every week after that, she picked up 3 new customers. Incredible. It was exciting for her. She was able to have enough money that she went on a cruise.
Lovely.
And she had never, that's what gets me. You know, just to change someone's life just by switching that mindset around. And it is such an important thing to get. Why would I want anyone to go with anyone else when I know that they're not going to do as good a job as I am?
Love it. And I just love that when you challenge someone to say, are you being selfish? I love it. That's so clever. Because it really challenges us from another perspective to say, hold on, I actually owe it to my audience to actually tell people how great I am.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah. Really, yeah. And being able to word it in a way that you feel comfortable with as well. Yeah. Yeah. But it was such an important thing. And she's still with that same company that I was working for and still doing a great job.
Yeah, that's fair. What a great story. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Love it. This goes to show you know, some small changes in your mindset and your behavior can give you huge results.
It can, and it is for me, it's the result from that. We're talking about the result. So for me, it, you know, on a business point of view, I wanted sales in her territory to improve. Yeah. I didn't want to have to get rid of her because she was one of those really loyal people that did a great job for the people she looked after. We needed her to do a better job. But when it comes down to it, it was not that she was struggling not to get a car fixed, and she was able to reward herself. Yeah. That's what I got out of it more than anything else. It was very cool.
That is really cool. Oh, Janine, that has been absolutely fantastic. I mean, I've learned so much, and it's been so great because they're just 5 simple things to think about and try and tweak and, you know, further develop in your behavior as a salesperson that really don't take a lot of work. You just have to be aware of them. And as soon as you are, you can start putting those into practice straight away.
Mm, you know? Absolutely. Especially the listening.
Yep, especially the listening. So, I mean, tell everybody how they can find you and how they can work with you.
Okay, probably the easiest way to find me is through my website, which is JanineVosper.com. And I think you can see my name up in the background there as to how to spell that. There's a whole lot of online programs that I run, and you can jump into those. And there's also, if you are locally, we're not doing a lot of travel at the moment, but if you are local to Southeast Queensland, I run group training sessions as well, all for businesses. And I'll come into the workplaces and run the training. But I know I've got some online. I had somebody the other day that she zoomed in to a face-to-face group session that I had. It was really cute. I had her on a separate computer all by herself. It's just a head there in the room participating. But she was able to then have, you know, the conversations work through everything. It was great. We can do anything now. We can zoom in and jump in from everywhere. So yes, I also Janine Vosper Facebook is my personal page, but I have lots of fun stuff up there. Everyone's welcome to say hi. And Speech Perfect is the brand on Facebook. Janine Vosper on LinkedIn. And that's something that I did over the shutdown, was put out information.
Yeah.
Just provide lots and lots of information for people to help them work through that space, whether it's mindset, sales, or presenting information. And Speech Perfect on Insta as well. I'm around everywhere. You Google me, I come up on a few pages.
So. Awesome. And I'll put those links for everybody into the show notes so you can.
Thanks, Darren.
But Janine, thank you so much for being on the show today. I've learned a lot. It's been a fantastic conversation. I hope we've helped a lot of people that have been struggling with their sales results. And just so you know, that just a little shift in your mindset and a little bit of execution and practice of these philosophies can turn your life around.
Absolutely. Thanks, Darren. I've had a ball. It's been fun.
Absolutely. And so is there anything else you want to leave us before we finish off?
No, but if anyone wants to jump on, I know if you're a podcast, love podcasts, then I do have the We Are Women podcast, and we're at about up episode 90 something as well. It's about the same. Yeah, been going for a few years, and it's I interview women from all around the world who've got great ideas to share with other people.
Beautiful. I love it.
Thank you.
Well, Janine, thanks again. And for all the audience out there, thanks so much for joining in. Thanks so much for supporting us on the show. And we've got loads of great episodes coming for you in the next few days. So have a great day, great week ahead, and we'll see you very, very soon.
Bye.